data inaccurate. Does not compute.
Tech wreck. Electronic.
Tech wreck.
Yeah, time to talk all things technology this week. And it was last week we spoke with tech writer and commentator Stilgarian about, well, it was robots taking over our jobs and really over the world. Good news, Stil, I'm still here.
Oh, that's excellent, Jamie.
Good to see you're still there today. G'day. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
For really something we're going to do for the next couple of weeks, a look at tech each week and the stories that are kind of making their way in that space, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm loving the intro.
Did you like that?
I loved it because we had, amongst other things, the robot from Lost in Space, which I grew up on.
Hey, well picked there. I thought we might get that past you.
No way. No way.
Hey, today you've been looking at, well, I think it's the future of something that is happening a bit now as well. We all use our devices and we're probably fairly used to them talking to each other in a way, sending information to each other. So, you know, for me, my telly and my phone are synced up and can talk to each other, my phone and my car, things like that. But you've been looking at more scenarios that might be on the horizon as well.
Yeah, this is, look, the Internet of Things is a buzzword that's been kicking around rather a lot in the course of this year. And it's the idea that everything that can have a little bit of intelligence in it and wireless communication will very soon be able to have that stuff in it. And all these devices will talk to each other and to services out on the Internet. Maybe not directly to us, but here's an example, the kind of stuff which is already happening in the automotive industry, the smart car. You know, we already have cars that have more computer power in them than the Apollo spacecraft that took people to the moon. And you know,
it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. We carry all of this technology in our pockets. It's in cars and so on. So when the car can communicate back to the manufacturer, it can tell it about what's going on in the car. It can notice, for example, that, say, a wheel bearing is overheating a bit. Maybe that means the bearing is about to go. It can signal back to the manufacturer and say, hey, I need help. The manufacturer can then contact you and say, hey, we need to come to fix your car. We need you to swap the wheel bearing out. Tell us where the car will be when you won't be using it for half an hour, and we'll come out and fix it.
So the technology can bypass us in a way.
Yeah, you know, the machines will predict themselves when there is a problem coming up, and it becomes preventative maintenance, if you like. And there's an even more elaborate, I mean, we have that now, in a way. Commercial jet airliners already do this. Something like an Airbus A380, the big fat fish of the sky, is already sending live data back to Airbus Industries in France and to Rolls-Royce, if Rolls-Royce make the engines in England, in real time. And so if something goes wrong, engineers can be on the phone directly to Qantas, say, and explain the problem with the aircraft and what they need to do to get it fixed and arrange for spare parts to be sent ahead to meet the aircraft. But Chris Arkenberg, who's a futurist who works for Orange, the telco in Silicon Valley, he's been sketching out some amazing ideas. So imagine that your car not only is monitoring its systems and detects that there might be some sort of fault, it communicates that back not just to the manufacturer to organise service, but to all of the other stakeholders, like the insurance company. So the insurance company dispatches a drone, a little helicopter, to follow the car on the freeway to watch how it's performing and just kind of, if it starts seeing that the car is behaving erratically, well, that wheel bearing is getting out of alignment here, that car could be a problem, it can signal the driver, no, we're pulling you off the road, or you can keep driving, but your insurance premium's gone up $5 a week.
Wow. But this is looking, surely this is quite far off into the distance. I'm not going to be hearing the buzz of a drone over the top of my Focus in a few days, am I?
No, the drone is the tricky one because we have issues to do with the licensing of unmanned aircraft, and there's a whole lot of regulatory stuff that we have to sort out about that because, look, I don't know, they just don't want robot helicopters falling out of the sky onto
exactly.
Kindergarten playgrounds for some reason. I can't imagine why. So that's a problem. But the idea of you buying insurance on a per trip basis is not too far-fetched. The insurance companies are, you know, already thinking about this kind of thing. The technology is already starting to be built into cars. In the United States, and I forget which year it is now, but after a certain date, all new cars sold in the United States must have this kind of live communication system in it.
19 minutes to three. My guest is Still Geary, and we're talking technology. He's a tech writer and commentator, and we're talking specifically, well, I mean, one scenario here, you're talking about this live communication on the performance and update of what's going on with your car back to, well, a third party here, really, like an insurance company. Obviously, there's advantages here for safety and things like that still, but is there concern from you as well about this information that could be, you know, sent live to third parties on my performance in my car?
Absolutely. I mean, it would be very easy to start building into the system some sort of performance test. I mean, a breathalyzer is an obvious kind of thing to build into the car, and there is often talk about that sort of thing. But if you had a record of the driver's regular driving patterns and they're suddenly erratic, he's driving faster than he normally is or isn't steering as well as he normally is, you can tell that something's wrong. Now, again, that's a positive thing from a safety viewpoint, but what happens if this insurance company is also providing your health insurance? What if it notices that your car is quite often parked outside a pub until 2 a.m. six nights a week? What if there's other indications that your lifestyle has gone amiss? There's starting to be so much sharing of data between different kinds of organisations, particularly in the United States, because there the privacy rules, well, it's pretty much free for all. And we're starting to see some really interesting possibilities. Now, we don't know whether this is on the near horizon or far horizon, but we can tell from someone's shopping list whether they're pregnant or not. I mean, it helps if they're a woman, obviously. But when a woman becomes pregnant, her shopping list will change.
And what's interesting here as well, though, is obviously there'll be some people listening to this and going, I think that would be great if my driving performance was monitored, because that would mean a lower premium for me. But
exactly. The insurance company, if this sort of thing happens, what they're going to do is say, well, look, you give us your driving data, we will give you cheaper insurance.
Yeah. But the problem is the sharing of information with other groups and third parties that we don't even know about.
That's right. Now, within Australia, the new Privacy Act provisions that came into force on the 12th of March do say that you're not allowed to blend different types of personal information that you've provided and come up with a new kind of personal information without your permission. But it would be interesting to see what terms and conditions you've signed up for when they talk about, well, we will share this data amongst the various organisations in our group in order to provide you with the best possible service. And that could cover a lot of sins. It's an area of law that has yet to be explored. And once an organisation has the location of your car, then all sorts of possibilities come up, particularly if it hits your personal digital assistant. So your phone says, hey, I've got a calendar of your movements. It says you're out of the office and at an important meeting. Do not disturb. But then the car is signalling that it's parked outside a rent-by-the-hour motel.
All sorts of issues there.
Yes.
Still, 1-300-222-720. It's the talkback number if you've got a question for Still. Hey, Steve has called in, and he's got a question, well, looking at technology in cars. G'day, Steve.
5 years ago, I'm a truck driver. 5 years ago, we had our tracking stuff put on all our trucks for the company I worked at. And every week, the boss got an email listing all the times we were speeding. I'd be really worried if all of a sudden the police are getting that and I'm getting speeding fines, you know. I mean, let's face it, we all speed, you know, a few times a week.
Oh, no, we don't, Steve.
Oh, come on. Come on.
That's
a scary thing.
And that's the thing, because Steve's right. I mean, the trucking industry in Australia is under enormous competitive pressures to deliver the fresh avocados on time or whatever it might be, or just to get the truck back for the next load. And this kind of smart car thing, yes, where the truck is not just keeping a log which is inspected from time to time, but is communicating back in real time, that's where it starts to become interesting. And Steve's identified an obvious threat that the kind of let's turn a blind eye to a little bit of speeding so everyone gets their job done. I mean, we know that happens, and most of the time it happens and people get away with it, and every now and then someone gets caught and the fine gets paid, and that's the unfortunate nature of the industry. But the kind of scenarios being spoken about are when vehicles communicate with each other so that trucks could form a convoy not just under the control of the drivers, but the trucks are communicating with each other. So as soon as the lead truck puts the brakes on, all the other trucks know immediately and start applying the brakes as well in a controlled fashion. I'm not saying that there'd be no drivers in these trucks, because you need someone there in case something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But in the same way that an airline pilot has an autopilot, and in a modern airliner, they're really just monitoring, not just monitoring computer systems, because they're incredibly complicated things to operate, but really the aircraft flies itself under the broad direction of the pilot, and the pilot can take over manually if there's a serious problem. Do we want the same sort of things on the roads? Well, people are talking about it. And, how far off in the future is it? Well, obviously, it would take a lot of infrastructure. You'd have to build smarter roads in a way so that the truck, a truck will never have a vision perhaps as good as a human being, or maybe not. Trucks, the computer won't fall asleep. But it would obviously have to be done in a controlled and a national way. It won't happen overnight, but it's certainly the direction that the technologists are interested in taking it.
I think this text from Paul maybe shows the lay of the land of a few people, how they're thinking today. 0437922720, the text line. While this is, good for safety and can be good for safety, just what I need, though, is a computer contacting my car service center, telling them that the computer says you need to have this much work done on your car and it's going to cost you this much. What chance have I got if it's bypassing me and going straight to the dealer? That from Paul, who labels himself the cynic still.
Here's the thing. The companies that are... He's right. He's worried, the car says I need all this work and you suddenly get a bill for $2,000.
Who am I to argue with the computer?
Who am I to argue with the computer? The thing is, the companies that are offering this sort of thing are saying things like, and I think Honda in Japan are doing this, amongst others, they're saying you will get, with the car, 5 years free roadside service, or whatever the approved lifetime of the car is, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it might be, and we will do all that. It is covered. Breakage or crashes you're going to pay for, but if it's just items wearing out and need to be placed as part of a regular maintenance program, we will do that as part of the price of the car. And in a sense, it's possible that it could work out cheaper, because at the moment you do a 40,000 kilometre service or whatever it might be, and you just work through the checklist and stuff is replaced, even if it's maybe got another 20% of useful life in it or something, because you're working on a dumb checklist. If that process is smarter and it says, you're a careful driver, we can leave these parts run for quite a bit longer, that's great. Or, if we replace this part now, then we will save further problems later on. We can do it cheaper if we replace some cheaper part earlier or whatever. So, I mean, Paul's right. He's got a concern there, because it does change the business model. The other thing it puts out of work is the old general kind of mechanics garage who could fix any vehicle that came in. Now it's going to be the manufacturer saying, no, it's our people or our approved people working on this car, or no one does.
Yeah, interesting. A few concerned people getting in touch with us still today. It's okay. 10 minutes to 3. We can take some broader tech questions as well today. 1-300-222-720, or the text as well, 0437-922-720. Let's move away from that just slightly now still. And a time of year when we're all kind of, we're looking at things, we're buying things, we've got maybe a bit of a trigger finger when it comes to that kind of stuff. And a time of the year, though, when we do see, a ramp up in scams across the board, but particularly online as well.
It's a slightly more dangerous time than usual because the scammers know that during the holiday period, we may not be paying quite as much attention as we normally would. That raspberry cordial does have its effects. And we also
just want to get it done as well.
Yeah, and we might be travelling, and we're not logging on from an office or home where everything's set up as we like, but we use a dodgy internet connection somewhere. And as you say, Jamie, you know, we're in a bit of a rush. So the kinds of things people need to look out for are the usual, just, you know, am I getting an email from this person that says I should click on this link? You know, just pause before you go, oh, beauty, look at the New Year's Eve fireworks. Here's a video kind of thing. Go, hang on, why is Susan sending me that today? But there's also some specific scams that people try when people are on holidays. There are casual thieves who will look on Facebook in a community to see who said they're going to be away for 2 weeks. There's a picture of their house. Can we work out where they live? You know, we can look up their name, and if we've got their phone number, we can probably work out what their address is, or there might be enough clues to figure it out. The other thing is that if someone is away on holidays and they happen to, say, get their Facebook account hacked because they've fallen for a scam themselves, a common scam is that the hackers, now that they've got access to someone's Facebook account, they can look to see who their closest friends are. They can get all sorts of personal information about that person and send you a crafted email and go, look, it's Auntie Jen here. I'm in London, as you know, but I've just had my purse stolen and my passport stolen and everything. Look, the High Commission is sorting everything out, but can you just wire me $2,000 until they've got that under control?
Yeah, and tugging at the heartstrings as well.
At the heartstrings, and the message is coming from someone you know. You're getting a direct message through Facebook or through Twitter or for whatever social media account, or through your email, because once they're in your Facebook, they could figure out how to email you and so on. They can copy the communication style that they use. So if they always call you Jimmy rather than Jamie, they will make sure they call you the right name.
Yeah.
And it's just too easy because it sounds so convincing, doesn't it?
It does, and it's just a reminder as well to really keep your alert up and ask a few questions if things just don't even feel right to you.
Yeah, and there's ways and means. If someone has had all of their IDs stolen and has spoken to the High Commission, give DFAT a call, give Department of Foreign Affairs a call. Just say, hey, have you actually had this person in touch?
Yeah.
How can I help them? And that then becomes a legitimate channel. They can help organise something for people who are in genuine trouble like that.
6 minutes to three, having a chat with tech commentator and writer, Stilgherrian, and taking a few of your calls today as well. You mentioned about the things we have to be careful about when we're on holiday at this time of year still. But something that we love to do when we're on holiday, and some of us maybe a little bit more than others, is to take a selfie and pop it on Instagram. You've had a bit of a look about the most popular Instagrammed places or photos in the world.
It's huge. There's 300 million people using Instagram now globally, which is it's pretty serious stuff. And each year, Instagram compiles a list of the top 10 most popular places to take a picture. Not necessarily a selfie, but certainly one. And I am surprised because for the last couple of years, the most popular place in the world is the Siam Paragon Shopping Mall in Bangkok.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not this year, but it was.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was by a big margin. And the reason is a fascinating cultural thing. Bangkok in the last decade or so, perhaps a bit longer, has had a huge increase in the wealth of the middle class. And so these luxury shopping malls are now a thing. And to kind of prove that you're part of that, you hang out at the mall, you buy the right label clothes and accessories.
So you want to show off a little bit.
You want to show off. Yeah. You want to show that you're there with your friends. There is a very much a sharing and telling people that's where you are culture there. And so that was the most popular spot. and it had been for a couple of years. But they've had, of course, a military coup in Thailand. There was a period where there was a curfew. People weren't staying out as late. Perhaps people have been more cautious. So they have dropped from the number one spot. And this year, it's Disneyland.
Oh, now that seems more right.
Yeah. See, Disneyland was always high on the list.
Okay.
But, you know, it was always in the top 10, but it's at number one now. Number two, Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
In a sporting ground. See, it makes sense. Three, Times Square in New York.
Yeah.
Siam Paragon in Bangkok is down at number four. Number five, Gorky Park in Moscow. Which again, is if you're going to Moscow, that's a
compulsory
tourist attraction.
Probably where you're
going to
end up, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Six, Paris, where would you think?
Maybe that tower thing?
The Eiffel Tower? No.
Whoa.
In fact,
Louvre.
It's the Louvre. Absolutely.
There we go.
See more pictures of the art.
Yeah, okay, of course.
Number seven, Red Square in Moscow. Number eight, Madison Square Garden in New York. So, you know, obviously a big sporting and concert venue.
Go Knicks.
Yankee Stadium. In New York again, number nine. And number 10, this one is interesting. I think this is the first time it's been in the list. The Dubai Mall in Dubai.
Okay. Again, is that a bit of a show-off?
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's again, people who are wealthy and showing off. And in fact, Instagram provided a couple of sample images on this. And one of them, the caption that the Abdullah 2010 has put on it, who looks a fashionable young chap. And it says, it takes only one weekend in the Dubai Mall to spend all of my salary for this month.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's no doubting that. 1-300-222-720. You heard the list there of the most Instagrammed places for the year. Did you take an Instagram photo there? Maybe you did, if you were lucky enough. Tell me about it. 1-300-222-720. The text as well, 0437-922-720. I thought you were going to say the most Instagrammed place was a plate of someone's food. I think that could trump them all if we're looking at categories.
Look, it would, but of course every plate's going to be in a different location, so they're not going to add up to one geotagged spot, as the jargon goes.
Are you a big Instagrammer, just quickly still?
I am. Never a selfie.
Or no?
Very rarely. People don't need to see pictures of me. But I took a few on the way here today, and indeed my very last Instagram shot was of me sitting here in the studio in Sydney waiting to chat to you.
Well, there we go. Something special. You might have to tweet that one as well.
Oh, it's already happened.
There we go. I'll retweet it later. At Burnett, Jamie. Hey, still, always a pleasure to chat to you, and thanks for talking to us today on Arvos.
No worries, Jamie. See you next week.